Christmas Day, 2024. And in the book of Luke, in the first chapter, beginning with the 26th verse, we read, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee, called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, 'Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end.' And Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I am a virgin?' The angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy child shall be called the Son of God.'" Such was the announcement to Mary, the mother of Jesus. I'm going to take you today to the message I preached last Sunday. This, of course, is Christmas Sunday. I'm going to take you to the message I preached last Sunday, leading up to this Sunday. It's entitled, "A Sinless Universe." Did you get the title? A Sinless Universe. Be blessed as you listen. Sooner or later, mostly later rather than sooner, but we're going to inherit a sinless universe. The future holds a universe in which will be no sin. Now, this is the season that we give gifts, receive gifts. And this one, we're looking at the greatest gift ever given by the greatest giver of all times. Amen. To the greatest number of recipients. Amen. As we move through this morning, we're in Ephesians chapter 1. The human mind cannot grasp the significance of the cross. We can't grasp it. We cannot grasp the fullness of the significance of the cross, how Christ endured what he did on the cross. He who knew no sin became sin. He took my sin. He took your sin on himself on the cross. And he put those sins to death in himself. You understand that when you say, "Forgive me for my sin," that sin had to be put to death in Christ Jesus. Amen. Which is why on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because in that moment in time and eternity, he who knew no sin had become everything that God hated. He who, the Son of God, became everything that God hated, because God hates sin. In every expression, there's not an expression of sin that God does not hate. And the results of what Christ did on the cross is manifest in this room this morning. Where would you be without Christ this morning? What would you be doing on a Sunday morning without Christ? Where would you be? Would you be suffering from a hangover? Would you be suffering from a night of revelry last night on a Saturday night? Where would you be? Remember where you used to be. Now, what I want you to understand this morning as we come through this, as one born again, that does not exempt you from problems in life. that does not exempt you from the things that everybody else goes through, because you have to understand, you are being prepared for eternity. Each and every one of us, as I've told you before, are at a different level in our spiritual growth. And each and every one of us have those parts of our life that need to be worked out, need to be confessed as sin, need to be forsaken, need to be put to death on the cross. You are, as one born again, you are a new creation. You've been adopted into the family of God. You are a believer priest. With your last heartbeat, you'll be received into glory. Amen. You'll be received into glory. So with that in mind, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. I hope to cover about 10 verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. He is not a self-appointed apostle. In my years in the ministry, I've received notifications from individuals that wanted me to understand they were an apostle. Paul was not a self-appointed apostle. He was appointed by God, anointed by God, commissioned by God. Verse 2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's writing to the church at Ephesus. And he says to the church at Ephesus, grace to you and peace. How much peace do we need? How much peace do we lack? How do you get peace? Where do you find peace? We go through life, we're concerned about this, we're concerned about that, we're upset with this, we're upset with that, we're aggravated with this, we're aggravated with that. And somehow, if we're not careful, we don't embrace the peace. We let Satan interrupt our peace. We let the enemy steal our peace. But Paul is saying to the church there, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we come to verse 3. This is where it starts getting a little bit deeper. And this is where you personally become more intimately involved. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, past tense, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, who has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. As one born again, you are already the recipient of blessing after blessing after blessing. And I'm going to point out just a few things that you might want to consider as a blessing. Number one, the love of God. You, as a recipient of Christ Jesus, are an object of the love of God. God loves you.
Amen.
God loves you. That's got to be more than just a statement. That's got to be more than just a churchy kind of thing. God loves you. Every day of the world, when you get up, you can get up saying, God loves me. My Heavenly Father loves me. My Heavenly Father has my best interest at heart. And yes, my Heavenly Father has to allow me to come through different levels of different situations and circumstances because he is in the process of conforming me to be like Christ Jesus. And it is as I come through the processes that he is conforming me. I think one of the hardest things that most churches have trouble grasping is that the pastor, the preacher, is coming through the same levels of sanctification that you are coming through. Each of us, now some of us come out of the womb facing different things. We, in our childhood, we face different things. In our growing up, we came through different phases and different levels of opposition, but in different things that wounded us, bruised us, and temporarily perhaps conformed us to a likeness unlike Christ. But the point is this, God loves you. You as recipient of the Lord Jesus Christ are loved by God. You have received the love of God. Now, in His love, He adopted you. He adopted you. You see, an adoptive child is not a child that's just born as a result of marital relationship. An adoptive child is a child that was sought after, chosen, received, and believed. You are an adopted child. You've been adopted by Jehovah God. You are a member of God's family. You have access to the throne of God because as a child of God, you're in the family. And He's your Father. And you can go to Him with any situation, any circumstance, any concern, any doubt, any fear, any problem, whatever it may be. You, as an adopted child of God, can go to Him with that problem, whatever it may be. Then, as an adopted child, you've already received His mercy. He's a merciful God. And you have already received His mercy, His compassion, and His forgiveness. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you, this is not an easy message to explain, and it's not an easy message to understand. You've got to listen. God knew before anything was created what He was going to create. God knew before He ever created anything, before He ever created Adam and Eve. We're talking about the omniscience of God. God knew every infant that would ever be born. God knew every child that would ever be born. He knew when you were going to be born. He knew to whom you were going to be born. He knew where you were going to be born. He knew when you were going to be born. And He ordained it to be such. Now you have to understand the sovereignty of God, the omniscience of God. You have to understand that He's never been surprised by anything you ever said. He's never been surprised by anything you ever did. He's never been surprised by anything that you became involved in. Before the foundation of the world, He knew everything you were going to say. I understand this is hard to grasp. I understand this. But until you understand the omniscience of God, you won't grasp it. He understood everything that was going to touch your life. He knew everything that was going to bruise you, everything that was going to wound you, everything that was going to encourage you. God knew every facet of your life, every mistake you're ever going to make, every sin you were ever going to sin. He knew every act of ungodliness that you would ever perform. He knew every ungodly thing you would ever say. He knew every ungodly thing you would ever think. And loved you. And loved you. Amen. Loved you. So not only that, not only have you received His love and His mercy been adopted, but you received His grace. I don't deserve His compassion, nor do you. None of us in here deserve the compassion of God. And yet we're recipients of the compassion of God, His love, His mercy, His grace, His compassion. And then, gifts. Every person sitting in here has a spiritual gift, one or more. The question is, do you know what your spiritual gift is? Have you ever taken the time to consider it? Go before His throne, look in the Word, say, this is where I fit into the overall scheme of things. This is where I fit into the body of Christ. This is my function in the body. It may not be in front of other people from a platform, but it may be in the everyday affairs of life. Wherever God has positioned you, wherever God has placed you, that is your field of ministry. That is your place of ministry. That is your place to exemplify Christ's likeness as you come through the issues of life. And then, as one who's been adopted of God, you have access to His throne. You have access to the throne of God. And you can go to God with any concern whatever that you have. You can take the concerns of the nation, the concerns of the world, the concerns of others. You have access to the throne of God. You have access to the Lord God Almighty. Amen. And He welcomes you and invites you as a child of His to spend time with Him, talking to Him about what concerns you. You see, so many times we go through life and we kind of silence the concerns. We don't express the concerns. And He's saying, come to me. Bring it to me. Discuss it with me. You see, nothing has ever touched your life that He doesn't know about. Amen. Nothing is going to touch your life that He doesn't know about. Nothing has ever, ever, ever happened in your life that He did not know about before it happened. And some of the things you, much of the thing you brought and introduced into your life on your own because you were in rebellion against God. You were in rebellion against God, and because you were in rebellion against God, you lived a life, you did things, you made decisions that were not necessarily best for you, but He suffered you to do that. Why? Because He refused to violate your will. You have free will. You have free will. And He acknowledges that free will and allows that free will. Now, as a child of God, you're already a citizen of heaven. No. You're already a citizen of heaven. You're just waiting for the last heartbeat to get there.
Amen.
Did you hear me? You're just waiting for the last heartbeat. As one born again, your citizenship is already in glory. Therefore, you have access to the throne of God. You have access to the creative power of the universe. You're indwelt by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God in you wants to lead, guide, control you in every aspect of your life, which is why the Word of God says, Christ said, except you become as little children. We're to become as little children, trusting Him, believing Him, responding to Him, obeying Him. Just become as a little child. You say, well, you know, you don't understand my educational background. And you don't understand where I come from, and you don't understand all the things I've done. Listen, God, sovereign God, has known from eternity past everything that would ever touch your life, everything that would ever encourage you, strengthen you, bruise you, wound you. He chose the time of your birth, the place of your birth, and the parents of your birth. So don't get crosswind with Him. Just receive what He's done. Receive who you are. Now, you have eternal life. We struggle so hard to stay well and get healthy and stay here. And, you know, oh, what's that? There's a pain. I better run down to the doctor and I better. God didn't create you to go through life anxious, doubtful, fearful, concerned, worry. You're going to come through physical things. You're going to come through emotional things. You're going to come through spiritual things. All of that is part of the mix. It's all part of the mix. Just because you're a child of God does not exempt you from so much of humanity and what humanity embraces and suffers. As a matter of fact, because you're a child of God, you're going to come through some things that other people don't come through.
That's right.
But you're going to have to come through it. Why? Because He is conforming you to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So accept that conforming process. Say, bring it on, Lord. Conform me. I want to be conformed. Now we come to verse 4. Just as He chose us. Now we're talking about you. We're talking about you. Just as He chose us in Him, when? Before the foundation of the world. Let that sink in. God knew you. God chose you before He ever created a thing. In eternity past, God saw you. God knew you. God received you. God loved you. God set this thing in motion. He knew. God has known from eternity past who would be born again and who would not be born again. God has known from eternity past at what point in time he knew from eternity past at what point in time you were going to submit and surrender to his lordship in his life. He knows those who will. He knows those who want. But he knew that the moment that you were going to come to him, receiving him as Lord and Savior. So watch this again. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world that, why did he choose you? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He chose us in his foreknowledge. He chose us in his foreknowledge. How did he choose us? In Christ Jesus. It was in and through Christ Jesus that he chose us. When did he do that? Before the foundation of the world. Are you getting this?
Yes, sir.
Please understand this morning. Before the foundation of the world, omnipotent, omniscient God knew who would and who would not receive his son, Christ Jesus, as our Lord and Savior. He knew who would and who would not be born again. And he opened the door for everybody. Whosoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, whosoever. It is open to anybody and everybody of every race, every nation, every tongue. It is open to anybody and everybody. And you're surrounded by people that are not yet born again, but are going to be born again. And you are surrounded by people that you would not think they would ever make it into the kingdom of God, but they're going to get there too. And it's all foreknown by God. He's omniscient. He knows all that before the foundation of the world. In other words, in eternity past. In eternity past, he saw me come out of the womb. He saw me as an infant. He saw you as an infant. He knows everything that ever touched your life. He knows everything in your bloodline. He knows everything that you are going to encounter. He knew that in advance and yet protected you. Not all of our experiences were pleasant. Not all of our experiences were pleasant at all. We come through some experiences that were devastating, that were troublesome, that were bothersome, that were painful emotionally, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. They were painful. But God foreknew, but also this, we brought much of it on ourselves. We brought a great deal, I would dare say the majority, of our emotional, spiritual, physical suffering on ourselves. Out of our ignorance, number one, out of our disobedience, number two. That, why did he do all this? That we should be holy. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Holy and without blame. In other words, nothing for which we could be blamed. That's why, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Ephesians 1:5. Having predestined us to adoption as sons in and through Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ, he predetermined on his foreknowledge, on the basis of his omniscience, he knew who would and who would not. So, based on that, he predestinated us, those he knew who would, to be adopted as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Not our will, his good pleasure. Because he knew, here again, he knew, listen, he knows everything that ever touched your life. And he allowed you to come through level after level after level of emotional, mental, spiritual pain, if you might put it that way. But you have to understand this. And through it all and in it all, he was preparing you to be who he wanted you to be in order that you could be to others what he wanted you to be to others.
Amen.
Are you getting this?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
See, a lot of times the church loses its sight of the fact that, wait a minute, God has known me before the foundation of the world. God brought me forth from the parents that he chose for me. I might not have chosen them, but he chose them for me. He chose my bloodline. He chose the date of my birth, the time of my birth, the place of my birth, and he chose, if you will, the environment in which I was going to be raised. Do you understand that you are a work in progress? See, you are still a work in progress, and you have met things this past week, and you're going to meet things this next week that are part of the conforming process by which he is bringing you more and more into an identification with Jesus Christ. So why do you think the Word of God says that in everything give thanks? You say, wait a minute. I didn't say it. He said it. He said in everything give thanks. Wait a minute, Bob. You're saying to me that when I'm upset, when I'm distressed, when I'm discouraged, when I'm beat down, when I'm suffering, when I got this, I got that, I got the other going on, I'm supposed to give him thanks and rejoice in it? No, I'm not saying that. He's saying that. You understand he's getting you ready for glory? Amen. He's getting you ready for glory. You're going to be an eternal citizen in the kingdom of God. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. And there's not going to be any sickness, pain, sorrow, disease, and not going to be any crime, no sin, nothing in this new universe. And he's preparing you for your position and your place in that position right now. So he has to allow you to come through these things. Now, understand this. Once again, verse 5. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Understand this. All have equal opportunity to be adopted. Did you hear me? Every human being on the face of the earth, every human being ever born has the equal opportunity to be adopted by the Lord God Almighty. How? How do I know that? The Word of God says, whosoever will. Whosoever will. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Whosoever, regardless of their background. See, you've got people in your family right now, you think, no chance. I'm doing everything I can. I'm praying for them. I'm trying to be light. I'm trying to be salt. No. Take it to the prayer closet. Take it to the prayer closet. Hold them up before the throne of God day after day after day. And say to God, Father God, whatever you have to do in their life to bring them to a saving knowledge of you, bring that into their life, Lord. See, God, omnipotent, omniscient God, can so arrange the circumstance. See, God already knows who's going to be saved, but you don't. That loved one of yours may or may not be one of the elect. Now, what do I mean by the elect? By the elect, I mean those that God knew before the foundation of the world who would be willing to receive him. Now, those of the elect are those that he knew. You don't know who they are. And because you don't know who they are, you need to be a witness, you need to be light, you need to be salt. And you can pray this, Lord, if they're not in your knowledge as elect, please bring them into your knowledge as elect. Are you following this? Because he's known. See, he's never learned anything new. He's never learned anything new. He has known before the foundation of the world who would and who would not be born again and receive him as Lord and Savior. He also knew when. And he knew where. He knew all of that. We didn't understand that. We didn't understand why we were going through what we were going through. And quite frankly, I look back across my life. Now, I was about 8 years old. And Troy London was an independent Baptist preacher. And he preached on heaven and hell. And I did want to go to heaven, and I didn't want to go to hell. My mother was up in the choir, so I motioned to her, can I go down to the altar? And she nodded. So I went down to the altar. Now, I don't know if I was saved at 8 years of age, but I can tell you this, I was safe. Understand what I'm saying? I may not have been saved, but I was safe because God knew my heart. I was elect from before the foundation of the world. So are you. Those of you who have been born again, you were of the elect before the foundation of the world. God knew everything that was ever going to touch your life. Now, please Please, please hear me carefully now. Understand this. As one born again, you must be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. In order to conform you to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's all kinds of baggage. When you came to Christ, yes, you were born again. Yes, you became a new creation. Yes, your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yes, you became a believer priest. But now you've got to come through the process of sanctification, and you're not sanctified fully, completely, totally at the moment you received Christ. I think this is so misunderstood in the church. Well, I'm saved, therefore if I'm saved, it's God's business. I can do this, I can do that, I can go here, I can go there. No. Your job is to submit and surrender. Your job every morning of the world is to submit and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and bring your life into compliance with His Word and His will. Submitting to His will and allowing Him to have His way in your life through the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, enabling you and empowering you, because the Holy Spirit of God wants to enable you and empower you to become increasingly more Christ-like, and He is doing that. Amen. And that's why you're coming through some of this emotional, even spiritual, even physical stuff. You never arrive till you get to glory. Amen. You don't arrive till you get to glory. And me, just like you, each of us, we're in a process of being sanctified, increasingly more and more and more set apart for His use. Are you tracking this? It is an increasingly, it's a process by which we're increasingly set aside for His glory, His honor, and His praise. But Romans 10:13, once again, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Back to Ephesians 1:6. To the praise of the glory of the grace by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved. To the praise of the glory of His grace by which He has made us. He made us. You didn't make yourself.
No.
He made us accepted in the Beloved. He worked in us and through us, conforming us. This is so hard to grasp. Please hear me. Slow down and listen to me now. Before the foundation of the world, God knew each and every individual that would reach that point in their life, even when they were dead in their trespasses and sins. He knew there would come a point in time in their life when they would desire to be His child. They would desire to be born again. They would desire to have their sins forgiven, their past forgotten. And because of that, He put in motion that which would bring us to that point in time in our lives. Glory to the praise of His glory, the high honor won by achievement. Who won this for us? Jesus. Jesus was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died a vicarious death on the cross. On the cross, He who knew no sin became sin, taking my sins, your sins, upon Himself. You see, Satan never wants you to understand who you are in Christ Jesus. Because the moment you understand who you are in Christ Jesus, you become a threat to hell. Once you understand who you are in Christ Jesus, you want every demon out of hell taking note when you get out of bed in the morning, because you want to know who you are, why you are who you are, how you became who you are, all because of what Christ Jesus did. The grace that made us acceptable to Himself. His grace. We didn't deserve it. Grace, undeserved favor. We did not deserve the favor we received from God. I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. None of us deserve the favor we receive from God. But we receive that favor. Why? Because of His love, His mercy, and His grace. You have to understand, you are a recipient of the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. And you have been chosen by God and adopted into His family because He, omniscient God, is working out His own plan in our lives. Ephesians 1:7. In Him, we have redemption How? Through church membership? No. Through religious practices? No. We have redemption. How? Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Slow down and look at that verse carefully. In him, Jesus, we have redemption. We've been redeemed from the family of Satan. We've been redeemed from the kingdom of darkness. We have been redeemed and brought into the family of God. I am a member of the family of God. You, as one born again, you are a member of the family of God. In him, in who? Jesus. Not in the denomination, not in the religious movement, but in him, in Jesus. We have redemption through his blood. That's the only way. The blood of Christ. Only the blood of Christ can cleanse me from my sins. Only the blood of Christ can cleanse you from your sin. And when you were born again because it was the blood of Christ that cleansed you from your sin. Your sins were put to death in Christ on the cross. And his blood cleansed you. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. You know, a painting and a statue will never, ever, ever display the agony of Christ on the cross. I see pictures of Christ hanging on the cross. And he's all clean and nice and neat and just hanging there waiting to die. That wasn't the way it was. He was bruised, battered, beaten, stripes, bloody. He was a bloody mess when they nailed him to that cross. And so we lose sight sometimes. None of us, not I, you, none of us, can really grasp or understand the fulfillment of the cross. I accept it. I receive it. I believe it. But none of us can understand the fullness of everything that went on that cross that day when Christ cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? Let's get ugly for a moment. Hanging on that cross, he took upon himself the sins of the whoremonger. He took upon himself the sins of the whore. He took upon himself the sins of the sodomite. He took upon himself the sins of every ungodly, unholy, Christ-hating, God-hating sinner. He took it on himself. And as he took that upon himself, he became the fullness, the epitome of sin itself. Thus he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? For the first time in all of time and eternity, he was separated from the presence of and the love of God the Father. Why have you separated me? Why have you forsaken me? Because in that moment, on that cross, he became the whoremonger. He became the adulterer. He became the profane individual. He became the drug addict. He became everything that God hates. And I've said this how many times? So that we can become everything God loves. Everything that God loves. The cross of Christ cannot be earned. Relationship with Christ cannot be earned. Our relationship with Christ cannot be earned. The grace of God cannot be earned. You can only receive it. And he knew before the foundation of the world who would and who would not receive it. Thus we became the elect. It is a gift from God. Salvation is a gift. You can't earn it. And so many systems of religion are trying to teach the people how to earn salvation. It cannot be earned. It can only be received. It's a gift from God. Again, Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption. We've been redeemed. We've been redeemed from the family of Satan. We've been redeemed from the kingdom of darkness. The redemption price was the blood of Christ. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Do you realize that every sin you've ever committed was put to death in Christ? Every sin that you have ever committed was put to death in Christ. And there's only two places in all the world for the sin. One is on you, one is on Christ. When you confess that sin, it's put on Christ. It's put death in Christ. It's no longer on you. Ephesians 1:8, which he made to abound towards us in wisdom and prudence. Let me read both those verses together now. Beginning with verse 7 again. In him we have redemption. We've been redeemed from the family of Satan. Through his blood, that was the way we were redeemed, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Which he made to abound? Which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence? We didn't earn it. Can't be earned. But he has given us love in abundance. He has given us forgiveness in abundance. He has blessed us in every conceivable way by adopting us into his family. Ephesians 1:9. I'm going to read this in two versions. Firstly, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Now let's read that in the New Living Translation. God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. God had a master plan from eternity past. Hear me now. God had a master plan from eternity past. And that master plan was that he himself would become flesh. He would become human. And he would go to the cross as a sacrifice for God's sacrifice for the sins of man. But from eternity past, a sin is now. What's all this leading towards? What's all this leading toward? Look at verse 9 again. God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his good plan. He had a master plan from eternity past. Now, this is where you figure into it. I'll start wrapping it up here. So listen to me carefully. Folks, you're going to live in a sinless universe.
Amen.
You are going to be a citizen. As one born again, you are going to be a citizen in a sinless universe. No sin of any kind, of any description. Now, you got to go through the portal of death to get there. But that's where you're going to end up. God is, listen, hear me carefully as I start wrapping this thing up already. God had a plan. And the plan was a sinless universe. But he gave man free will. And man in his free will violated the purpose of God and the plan of God and the word of God. And when he violated that will, he opened the door for all manner of sin and wickedness and evil to come into this mainstream of humanity. And so this we have sickness, disease, death. We have all of that because of the sin of man. But God had a plan. And God is going to start out. Now, listen to me now. He started with a sinless universe. The Word of God says that he saw everything he created and said, that's good. If God says a thing is good, it must be good. No, if God says a thing is good, it must be good. And the Word says that he saw everything that he had created and he said, that's good. That's his stamp of approval. He created sinless man, but he gave man free will. God knew. God knew Adam was going to sin. God knew Eve was going to sin. God knew that the hordes of hell were going to invade mankind. He knew that. But he knew out of all the mass of humanity, there would be that group of people that would say, I want to know God. I want to belong to God. I want to be adopted by God. I want to be a child of God. And I want to rule and reign throughout all of eternity with God. You're it?
Amen.
You're it. With all of your failures, all your background, all your feebleness, all the mistakes, all of the stuff you're involved in, still, he brought you out of that. Now, granted, when he brought you out of that, now he's got to conform you to the image of his son, Christ Jesus, which is why you are going through some of the storms. And you, as I've told you before, you're either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or headed for a storm. Some are stronger than others, but it's a storm nonetheless. So God's perfect plan is eventually a sinless universe. Where he started, no sin whatsoever in the universe. Glory be to God. Now, Ephesians 1:10, and this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. That's my last verse. Ephesians 1:10, watch it carefully. And this is the plan. This is God's plan. This is the master plan. At the right time, when is the right time? Only God knows. He will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and in earth. You as a child of God. You understand me now. I'm closing this out. You as a child of God have been adopted by God. You've been adopted. You're in the family of God. You belong to God. You're a child of God. You're a believer priest. You're in the family of God. You're in God's family. You are a recipient of his love, his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness. God knew everything you were going to do before you ever did it. God knew every sin you would ever commit before you ever committed the sin and still loved you. And still loved you. Either you believe the omniscience of God or you don't. It's that simple. He's omniscient. He's never learned anything new. He's never been surprised by anything. He was never surprised by anything you did or said. Now here's the tough part. In allowing you to come through the process of sanctification, everybody in here, everybody under the sound of my voice can look back across their life and say, I would to God I had never said that. Am I right or wrong?
You're right.
I would to God I had never been there. Am I right or wrong?
You're right.
I would to God I had never done that. Am I right or wrong?
You're right.
And if you could go back and eradicate and erase those mistakes, you can't start over. You can't start over, not down here. But if you could go back and eradicate all that you said and did and you were part of, that you would to God that you've never been a part of, you would do it, but you can't. But he says, when you confess it, I forget it. When you confess it, I forget it. So he's forgotten things you can't forget. Someone ought to say hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise
the Lord. He has forgotten things you can't forget. Not only that, he's forgotten things that Satan reminds you of every day.
Yeah, right.
Satan says, oh yeah, you remember you said this and you went there and you did this and you did that. He wants to take your peace. He wants to steal your peace. He wants to rob your peace. So turn to somebody right now and say, I'm not as spiritual as you think I am. But God's not through with me. You got to understand, you are being prepared for eternity in glory.
Yeah.
We're all going to gather around the throne. I'm going to jump up and down. I'm going to run all over heaven saying, can you believe it? God loved a man like me. And some of you are going to say the same thing. So just understand this. You are a prized possession. Your sins are forgiven. And even as you confess your sins, they are forgiven. Your past is already forgotten. You've been adopted into the family of God. Satan can't take you out.
No.
You're already in the family of God.
Amen.
The future is yours. All of eternity is yours.
Amen.
Rejoice in the Lord, I say again, rejoice. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, Father God, take the message, I pray.
Yes,
strengthen your people. Encourage your people, Heavenly Father. Help them better understand who they are in Christ Jesus and give you glory, honor, and praise every day of their life. Let them get out of bed. I'm a child of God, purchased by the blood of Christ. I am a child of God, adopted into the family of God. All my sins are forgiven. My past is forgotten. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Forever. Amen. Who in here would like just to stand up and pray and close us out saying, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Forever. Amen. All right, we got a volunteer. Quinn, come on up and take the mic. Now turn to somebody and say, I'm a child of God. My sins have been put to death in Christ. I am a new creation. I'm a work in progress. I haven't arrived yet. But I will. Praise God. Go ahead, Quinn.
Father, we come to you this morning, Father God, rejoicing. Father, I just thank you, Jesus Christ, for my salvation, Father
Amen.
God. What he said is true, Father God. Why, Father God, why me? I don't know, Father God. You chose me, Father God, and I'm so thankful for the prayers of the people, Father God, that put Jesus Christ in front of me, Father God, that prayed for me and prayed for me, Father God. I just thank you, Jesus. I can't thank you enough, Father God. And Father God, as we celebrate Christmas, Father God, the memory of you, Lord Jesus Christ, should be in the forefront of our mind, Father. Yes. Father, I just pray for the box, Father God, and those prayers, Father God, that you'll touch that box, Father God, and those prayers, Father God. And Father God, only you, Father God, can heal us. Only you can heal this nation.
That's right.
Only you can bring us back together, Father God, as a nation under God. Father God, as we were born as a nation under God. Father God, I just rebuke everything in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, Father God, that Satan has tried to rob, steal, and take our joy, Father God. Don't let it win, Father God. Don't let
That's
it
right.
win, Father God.
That's right.
We have options. We can turn to you, Father God, in our lowest of lows, Father God. Yes. When I have sinned and just spit on the cross, Father God, you never left my side, Father God.
That's right.
And I am so thankful for that, Father God. I rebuke any movement, Father God, that Satan has tried to do into this country, Father God, whether it be the LGBTQ and transgenderism, Father, the women's movement, Father God, the abortion, Father God, all the things that Satan has just thrown at us, Father God, the pornography, Father God, the stuff on television, Father, Hollywood, Father God, all the hypocritical stuff we see, Father God. And Father God, if we just closed our eyes to it and read the Word of God and prayed and got on our knees, Father God, and spoke against it every day instead of listening to it, watching it, and complaining about it, Father God, our complaints should be to you, Jesus.
That's right.
Father God, only you can turn this country around, Father God. So, Father, I bless these now, your people, Father God. There are people here that need a touch from you, Father God. There are people here that have problems, Father God. Father God, we complain, Father God, and we know there are people dying this day, Father God. They're dying, Father God, and there's some of them that don't know Christ, Father. Forgive us for not being that person that reached out at that moment, Father God. You know, Father God, there are people that I have not talked to, Father God, about you. And I ask for forgiveness, Father. And my heart, Father God, pleads for you, Jesus Christ, to send somebody in my place, Father God, that they may know you, Father God, that they have the opportunity, Father God, for salvation. And, Father God, I pray that your kingdom this day, Father God, will grow every day, Father, miraculously, Father God. People are seeing the light, Father God. We see a change. And, Father God, what happens when we see that? We get lazy, Father God. We get fat, Father God. And what we do is, hey, our four no more. Thank you, Jesus, I'm here. And, Father, we need to be the ones that are tearing the light, Father God, the directive that you gave us, Father, to go tell about Jesus Christ throughout the world, Father God. So, Father, for those that need a touch, emotionally, spiritually, financially, Father God, I pray you will touch them, Father God. Only you, Father God, can give peace. Only you can give us peace, Jesus. Nobody else, Trump can't, Father God, the Senate can't, Father God, Congress can't. Not even our wives, Father God, can give us peace. Only Jesus Christ can give us the peace that we need, Father God. Keep our eyes on you and the cross, Father God. And thank you for that cross. Thank you for what you did, Father God. You're right. Bob, when you look at Jesus Christ on that cross, he had been beaten, humiliated. Father, so bad, Father, he could barely carry the cross, Father God. Mm. Just think about what he went through, folks, for us. And I just pray this Christmas, that's what we have in our mind. I pray you will bless the families here, Father God, and those that are listening by radio, Father God. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bless you in your mind, body, soul, and spirit. I bless you with all the things of Jesus Christ. I pray, Father God, that we keep our eyes on you, and you will bless this nation, Father God, for our prayers, for our diligence, Father God. And it's your holy and precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Now, in case you didn't key on it, that was a Christmas message. Greatest gift of all time by the greatest giver of all time to the greatest number of recipients of all time.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today here on Challenge. And in the midst of everything that's going on, take the time to slow down and thank the Lord for his greatest gift. He, the greatest giver of all times, for having given the greatest gift of all times to the greatest number of people of all times, when he gave us Christ Jesus, his Son, on the cross, as a Savior to whosoever will. This has been Bob Martin. This has been Challenge. Thanks for joining us today here on Challenge. And until we have a chance to do this again, be blessed.